Okay, primarily tonight, we're going to be on a particular psalm, and it's Psalm 42, and that's why I thought if you had your Bible, you could just go to it, because we're going to pretty much stay in Psalm 42 the whole time. I may, you know, tell you a couple other verses along the way, but that's going to be the main thing. Psalm 42. I'm going to read the whole psalm once, right through right now.
Give us a moment.
And then we will go and take it, and we're going to dissect it. So, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. So that is the entire psalm, and we're going to kind of break it down. So in verse 1, we see, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Now, what I had for you, if the internet had been working for us, is I had the video of a stag making the kind of noise he's talking about. It's a horrific sound, and please forgive me as I do what I'm about to do. The sound of the stag goes like this. Now, as crazy and funny as that is, imagine a man suffering. And that's the sound of that suffering. When he heard the stag, he related to it as the sound that he was making in his suffering. It's a strong, loud noise that we need to see and hear. When was the last time I stood before our Father and cried out, I need you, in that kind of way? God here is the word Elohim. So it's God who judges, the ruler. But notice also it's Elohim, so we know that it is the Godhead. He is calling out all the power that he can. He is asking for the divine power to work on his behalf. Now, he is being even clearer, his soul, not just my heart. If it was my heart, you know, you would kind of feel, oop, I'm beating that thing. You would feel a sorrow for him, you know, that he is sorry. But he says his soul, so it's his entire being that is calling out to God, not just an I feel, but entirely. That is how intensely he is aching for the ruler of the universe. Verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, you can go without food. If you have water, you can go without food for about 2 or 3 months. I think I need to. But water's a whole different story. You can only go maybe 2, possibly 3 days without water. It is that vital. And so when we talk about that kind of thirst, we know that it's the kind of thirst that is, I'm near death. I'm not going to be able to go on. So dried up that we really think we might die. And I will be seen before the face of Elohim. coming to appear before him, is asking the question that remains in our hearts, when, Lord? Soon, as in Revelation 22:20. Okay, now that's that verse at the very end of the book in Revelation chapter 22, almost the last verse, which says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Adonai Yeshua. It's a begging and a pleading. Come before. He does understand that God is someone he can petition, and a wicked man would never even think to ask the question. He says, my tears have been my food, and the word food is lechem, which is bread. My tears have been my bread day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? I don't know if you've ever been in that position. I have, when people have made fun of your belief in God, belief in the sovereignty of the creator of the universe. But Hasatan is doing the same thing when he tempts Yeshua. You can read that in Luke chapter 4 if you want to make note. Day and night his tears have been flowing, not just in a moment like at your bedside or laying in bed. I don't know about you, but you know, I've had moments where I'm in bed and I'm crying over something, whatever. But the next morning I move on. You know, I may still feel sad or something, but I'm not continually crying and crying and crying. He is talking about a continual flowing night and day, bawling his eyes out from the tips of his toes to the top of his head, crying. He may have been aching so literally that he couldn't eat. Have you ever felt like that? At the same time, those who do not believe are taunting him. We may have encountered similar jibes from friends, family, even so-called fellow believers. Now, I've been through this. Have you? Had people make fun of you for your faith? Yeah. It's not a fun place to be, especially if you're the only one in the room standing for the Lord. It can feel really uncomfortable. And David is referring to that feeling of nobody else is standing with me. I'm the only one who is having confidence in God. Sort of like in Matthew 27 in verse 41. I wish I had all this stuff. I could be throwing it up on the board. Likewise also, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. And they wouldn't even have believed him then. He heard this so many times, the mocking, the disbelief. Moving on to verse 4, when I remember these things, the mockings, I pour out my soul within me. It's in present tense. Remembering is in the past, but in present tense, he's going through all of it now, just like Hannah did. Do you remember the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 in verse 10? It says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. She wept so hard, she was leaning against the building of the temple, and the priest said to her, he thought she was drunk. He said, go home and straighten up. And she had to explain to him, no, I'm crying because I want a son. Hannah poured out her soul to God for a child. So David has poured himself out, wanting to again be in God's presence, remembering the joy he had in the house of the Lord at the feast, such as the Feast of Tabernacles. You know, when we have Sukkot, it's a fun time, isn't it? We dance, we sing, we have a party. And so he's remembering that it was like that, but not now. But he does say in the other part of verse 4, I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. The verse says, with a multitude. There were times of family and friends. Great fellowship, important to remember and to remind ourselves. Do you feel like that when you come to Shabbat? I heard someone talking about the Sabbath this past week, and what they were saying was that it was a time of celebration for them, that there was dancing and singing. And I thought, I love that about the Sabbath. It's one of the great things that we can come together and, you know, this old body doesn't want to dance so much, but I love being able to clap my hands and sing and, you know, keep with the music and stuff. The holy days. In verse 5, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." I think it's interesting that he says, for the help of his countenance. I don't know if you, when you were a child, you had a parent watching you, like when you would sing or dance, you would ask them, "Look at me, mommy, look at me. Look at me, daddy, watch me." And the joy that you felt while they were watching you made you feel better about yourself because they were watching you. So that's what he's looking for. He's looking for God's face to look at him. Now he begins to talk to himself in good ways. He reminds himself of who is his hope, that there is a future, that it is God's face he's to look at and not his own. You know, and he's talking to himself. This is a really big key. My mom used to talk to herself, and we used to make so much fun of her. You know, we'd hear her muttering away, you know, oh, she'd say, "Oh, Nancy, what are you doing? Oh, okay, 25 minutes," because she's doing her bookkeeping. And she'd be talking to herself. And so we'd be making fun of her talking to herself. But it's actually a very important thing to do. Because sometimes we need to slap ourselves around and say, you know, God loves you. Don't let yourself think those thoughts. We have to talk to ourselves. So he returns to praise. So we come to verse 6. "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you in the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar." Now, I looked this up on the internet because I thought, what is he looking at exactly? And Jordan, I'm doing this backwards. I'll do it. Okay, flipping it over. So you're looking at the map. Jordan's here, and Mount Hermon is here, and Mizar is a little hill over here. So this must have been an area that he was traveling in. And he was doing this with his men. Okay, these are fighting guys. So he's remembering what God did for them in their battles as he's praying. He remembers that he is far from Jerusalem, which may be the thing that is really hurting him right now. Have you ever felt that way when you're far from home and the fellowship you hold so dearly? Verse 7. "Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me." Did I mention that I think this was something that Yeshua was thinking about? This whole verse, this whole psalm. Because as you read each part of this, as you continue to think about it, you can hear Yeshua's imagining and remembering things that he had been doing as he'd been traveling. And that even he had moments of quiet, I'm not going to say despair, but I will say that he had to feel loneliness because he wasn't in heaven at this point. He's here on the earth. He separates himself to go and do prayer. So there's a certain godly sorrowing that he has. So when you hear the waves and billows have gone over me, I'm imagining when he had his immersion. Waterfalls from the Jordan River, perhaps reminding David of the struggle he is feeling within. He's reminded of God's loving presence like waves and billows going over him. Verse 8 says, "The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Here is Yahweh, the creator, the redeemer, the healer, all in all, the only one we truly need, commanding. As he spoke light into being, he now speaks loving kindness. the decree of the King of the Universe. So then in the night, David can now sing a song of praise, not tears. I think that's the one thing that I love that I have in common with David is the music. And writing the music is something that draws me closer to God. I will sit there playing my guitar and creating something that I know God is giving me, and I'll end up in tears just because of the joy and the grace that he's given me. Verse 9. Oh, wait. And David is now singing a song of praise, not tears. So can we? This is how Yeshua survived. To the God of my life, no other God. There are no other gods. Verse 9, he says, I will say to God my rock. That's Adonai Tzuri. Why have you forgotten me? That sounds like Psalm 22, doesn't it? That verse of Psalm 22. You know, people always read that and they say, oh, Yeshua was alone and God had turned his back on him. But that can't be true, because if God can turn his back on Yeshua, he can turn his back on me. And if you continue to read in Psalm 22, you see that in the final part, it says, no, God will never leave me nor forsake me. He continues to be in battle, even as he sees that God is his rock, his fortress. This is a word of obstinacy. He is asking God, trusting him, but still able to ask, where are you? Verse 10, as with a breaking of or a sword in, the word is retzach, of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? So this again is just like in verse 3. So he's still dealing with the same problem, the same question. Where is God? Where are you, Father? We are still being harassed by the enemy. And here we see a reference to Yeshua, perhaps a verse he held on to as he was going through the suffering at the execution stake. Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Again, as in verse 5. So he's doing the same things over and over. He's musing. And have you not done that as well? I do. You know, it isn't something that I say once to God, you know, hey, where are you? No, I'm over and over going, what's going on? Why? Where? And why are you disquieted within me? For yet shall I praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now that is different from verse 5. Verse 5, he said, running backwards, he said, for the help of his countenance. This time he's saying for the help of my countenance, because I want to put a smile back on my face. I don't want to be looking like this. I want to be looking like this. I want to let people know I'm rejoicing. The help of my countenance and my God. Here is the answer. The truth we can trust in, as did David and Yeshua. Shall. For yet I shall praise him. Yet actually means still. Still I shall praise him. Even as we reach the end, it will not be the end. For still shall I praise him. Our help is Yeshua. He is our help, our health, our salvation, our God. He has given us a way to be refreshed, fed, consoled, healed, encouraged, strengthened, loved. So if you have not come to receive this in the form of God's salvation, Yeshua, from the God of David, today is the day. If you have not felt his presence, his face before you, and the problems you are facing, today is the day. If you have felt that he has forgotten you, if you are in a battle with the enemy, and most of us are, and you need to know he is there for you, today is the day. So I'm going to play a song for you that I wrote. Now, it's actually Psalm 17. And you know, I'm mostly country. So you're going to hear this as a country song. Let's see if I can do this now. The song is called Keep Me, and it's what you really want God to do.
Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me 'neath the shadow of your wing. From the wicked who oppress me and enemies who surround me, arise, O Lord, deliver me. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. Incline your ear to me. Can you hear my speech? I have called upon you. I know that you will hear me and keep me as the apple of your eye. I'll be satisfied when I'm awake. In righteousness I will behold your face. Deliver my soul from the wicked, from men in this world and this life. Arise, O Lord, deliver me. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. Incline your ear to me. Can you hear my speech? I have called upon you. I know that you will hear me and keep me as the apple of your eye. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. Incline your ear to me. Can you hear my speech? I have called upon you. I know that you will hear me and keep me as the apple of your eye. And keep me as the apple of your eye. Please keep me as the apple of your eye. 17. So that's another David song.
Doing the word that God called him to do. And we can do the same thing. We can call upon God to deliver our souls from the wicked. No matter what you're going through, good, bad, or indifferent, God is there with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is always there beside you. And so as we pray tonight, we're just going to ask God to continue to make himself known to us. Pray with me. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the time to spend with you and to share your word and to hear how David was a man after your heart, and that he suffered, that there were days when he was distressed and perplexed and confused, but he never stopped trusting you. He sought you in everything he went through. And I thank you for everyone in this room and those who are listening, that whoever might be going through something they just feel they cannot handle anymore, that Father, you show them that you will take that burden from them. I thank you, Father, that you will walk them through that fire, that you are there continually to lift them up and to guide them. I ask you, Father, to continually show them that Yeshua is loving them and ready to speak to their hearts, giving them the answers to life's perplexing questions. We praise you and thank you for this opportunity. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen.